You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates. I am your host, Ethan Smith, Pittsburgh superfan, Clippers superfan. For some reason, I started rooting for that team about 11, 12 years ago, so some interesting choices in my fandoms lately. I have the Clippers and the Pirates right now. The Clippers were one of the most notoriously bad NBA teams in NBA history, and we all know how the Pirates have been since I've been alive in 1998. Fun fact, I'm 22 years old, and I'm glad you guys are back here at Locked On Pirates, a part of the Locked On Sports Network, your team every day. Today is Monday, December 28th, and that means we are almost done with 2020. But one thing you can do to improve your 2020 at the end is check out Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar, and today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, and you will get 20% off of your first order. Those things are amazing. They sent me some. I love them. The peanut butter flavor is probably one of my better ones. They're all chocolate covered. So you guys make sure you use those. They're really fun. And I hope you guys enjoy it whenever you do go. Again, that's builtbar.com using the code LOCKEDON for 20% off of your next order. And on the podcast today, we know that some Pittsburgh Pirates have been playing some winter ball, but one of those guys that will no longer be playing winter ball is Gregory Polanco, as he injured his wrist, and it apparently wasn't a dislocation, it was just a kind of minor, I would say minor slash major wrist injury. As we all know, Polanco has had his injury issues throughout his stint with the Pittsburgh Pirates, as it's not necessarily a short list of injuries. So how does this affect the Pirates going into 2021? Well, we saw the team trade Josh Bell a couple days ago, just before Christmas. And realistically, that may have caught some people off guard with the timing. But I think it's pretty clear that GM Ben Cherington is definitely pushing this team towards a rebuild. Very nice to hear. Very good to hear. And honestly, the rebuild has been something I think since 2015 we should have probably already been in a spot of contention, but some bad decisions by management over the last couple years have kind of teetered that back to being in a rebuild once again. And the thing is with Polanco, and one of the guys that I really liked his take on this was Pittsburgh Post-Gazette's Jason Mackey, basically said, like, right now the team's current performance doesn't really mean much. Like, we're rebuilding. It's more of the individual performances of players that you're going to be seeing. But with Polanco being hurt once again, it's going to make his development in any capacity very difficult, especially due to the fact that they already have said, and as Mackey said in his article about Polanco, it's going to be very hard for him to go from 0 miles per hour to 60 miles per hour to even 100 miles per hour and be 100% for the entire year. As we all remember that shoulder injury he had a couple years ago, most doctors have told him that shoulder injury is going to stick with him for the rest of his career. So moving into 2021, this is going to pretty much open a very interesting dynamic on Polanco. I've already said this on the podcast multiple times. This is the last season we will see Gregory Polanco, number 25, in the black and gold. It just is. It's just how it is. I mean, you look at his 2020 stats. He was 153, 214, 325, and struck out almost 40% of the time. Again, some people are like, well, 2020 was kind of just a bad year for everyone. But then if you go back to 2019 and include his 2020 stats, 197, 257, 374 with a 33.4% strikeout percentage. That's just not good, especially for what Polanco is getting paid. And so the Pirates also started 18 different players in the outfield last year. Again, just experimenting a lot in what was a rebuilding year and a 19-win season. But for Polanco, of those 18 outfielders, he was dead last in WAR, which was a negative 0.9, according to FanGraphs. And, I mean, that includes guys like JT Riddle, JB Shuck, and this is also going back to 2019 as well, and other guys as well. And it's just something right now that you just have to hope that Polanco maybe comes out, hits a couple homers to begin the year, maybe picks up where he left off in 2018 when he was a much better player. But it's going to be very interesting to see if Polanco is going to even be able to get back to that form in 2021 and maybe gouge himself some trade value. But then you get into his contract, and I don't think anybody's going to really want to pay him this money. And the Pirates can buy out Polanco after 2021 for $3 million. Obviously, this team, with the pandemic and everything, is not trying to spend money. But when you compare that $3 million buyout to what would be paying him $12.5 million in 2022, I just don't think that's going to be very viable. I mean, he's getting paid almost one-fifth higher than the major league minimum, which is $563,000. And when you look at his play, he's not worth that kind of money. It's just it's just not. And the Pirates, if they were going to hand $6 or $7 million in arbitration to Josh Bell, which is why he got traded, or pay him after his contract ran out, why would they pay Gregory Polanco, who's been – I mean, Bell hasn't exactly been great either with his defense and the way he hit in 2020, but he was at least an all-star in 2019 and showed some progression in terms of hitting the ball out of the park and gained himself some trade value. For Polanco, he just hasn't done that. I don't think any team anywhere realistically is going to want to take on a $12 million contract for a guy that's hitting under the Mendoza line. It's just not how it's going to work. And I would assume, and most people have assumed, that even due to this injury, Polanco should be ready for spring training and be ready for opening day. And starting him is probably viable. I mean, he's probably one of the better options, sadly, that we have out there. I don't want to say sadly, because we do have some fun outfielding prospects in the system that are going to be coming up this year, hopefully. And, I mean, it could affect the young outfielders, though, who we'll talk about after the break, that are trying to progress if Polanco just goes in there and hits 225 in 2021 and then we just get rid of him. That's just another year of lost development for guys, say, like Anthony Alford, Jared Oliva, even O'Neill Cruz if he gets put out there, Travis Swaggerty, Cal Mitchell, Tanaj Thomas. There's a lot of guys that could be looking for development in 2021 in what should be a development year. But if Polanco is healthy enough to play, he really could, like, garner and take away some of the development. And I mean, Charrington obviously isn't done, so we don't know what's going to be going on over the next couple of months before spring training begins in March, or even if spring training does begin in March due to the pandemic and everything going on. It's going to be very interesting to see if Polanco even, like, gets a spot in the outfield if Charrington says, hey, let me go get a veteran outfielder who's going to at least hit 240, 250 rather than 200, 220. And, I mean, yeah, like, you want to lose games, but you also want to at least remain slightly competitive in terms of teaching guys like Cole Tucker, Kevin Newman, Key Brian Hayes, Mitch Keller, some of the younger pitchers that we've picked up, like Will Crow in the Josh Bell trade, Anthony Alford, Jared Oliva, Swaggerty. You want to teach these young guys how to win. And winning only 50 games and having an outfielder who's going to hit, like, 200, 220 isn't going to do that for you. Winning 69 or 70 games, albeit you're 70 and 92, but you're still winning some games and maybe beating, let's say, the St. Louis Cardinals in a series, or the Cincinnati Reds in a series, or the Atlanta Braves in a series, some of the top teams in the NL. If you can beat them in series and teach these young guys how to win, they gain more development. And it's just going to be interesting. Like, that's all I can really say about it. And Polanco, I actually do think it's kind of something that is good for him to not be playing the rest of winter ball, maybe so he can get a little bit healthier. I would have obviously not liked to hear him get hurt, but things happen, I guess. And I would bet on him to come back and have, like, at least somewhat of a decent year in 2021. And speaking of betting, there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust here at Locked On Sports, and that is betonline.ag. Betonline.ag will grant you a 50% welcome bonus, meaning if you put $100 into betonline.ag, they will give you $50 of free money to bet on football. As I mean, this week 17, we have some fun games coming up in the NFL. Go to the Locked On NFL Network for your favorite teams, or check out Christopher Carter if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan after that big win against the Indianapolis Colts to clinch the AFC North. If you want to bet on your favorite NFL team to win the Super Bowl, they have those kind of bets. Even when baseball starts, the Pittsburgh Pirates are like a plus 22,000 underdog to win the World Series this year. We've seen stranger things happen in sports. If you want to do anything like that, betonline.ag is the place to go. And make sure you use your code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, for your 50% welcome bonus. And as we said at the top of the podcast, today's episode is also brought to you by Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's LOCKEDON in all caps, and you'll get 20% off of your next order. That does not mean you have to be a new customer. You could already be using Built Bar and get 20% off of your next order and save yourself some money. And before we go to break, when we come back, we are going to talk about a lot of things. The outfielding options going into 2021. And that includes guys like we've already mentioned earlier in the podcast. And guess what? We will be right back. Alrighty, everybody, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates. Again, I hope you're having a great Monday, December 28th. I am. I've had a pretty good Monday, I'm not going to lie. And another team that's kind of had a really good go of things over the last 24 to 48 hours is the San Diego Padres. I mean, they pick up Blake Snell after he was pulled in Game 6 of the World Series against the Los Angeles Dodgers. He's now headed to San Diego to be playing alongside Fernando Tatis Jr. and the San Diego Padres. And also, there's some other news that the San Diego Padres could be acquiring Yu Darvish, so that could have big implications on the NL Central and the Pittsburgh Pirates if Yu Darvish is no longer a Chicago Cub. And it seems like the Padres aren't messing around. They want to be a World Series contender while Fernando Tatis Jr. is still developing and getting into the prime of his career. It's going to be very fun to see what the Padres do and how the 2021 season unfolds with especially the NL West. With the Padres and Dodgers, the NL East having the upstart New York Mets, Washington Nationals trading for Josh Bell, the Atlanta Braves winning that division last year, the NL Central could be the Cardinals to lose with a lot of teams, including the Reds, Pirates, and even the Brewers making moves this offseason. And speaking of making moves, the outfield is looking very interesting going into 2021 for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Is like I mentioned earlier on the pod, we started 18 different guys in the outfield last year. A lot of that was experimentation, including the Cole Tucker experiment that just didn't work, among other things. So now, if you look at what the Pirates have to work with, and I'm going to be using FanGraphs to look at kind of a depth chart going into the 2021 season. I love FanGraphs. It's a very good site. You look at what they're kind of showing right now, and as far as the projected bench goes, we'll start there. Phillip Evans, Cole Tucker, and Jared Oliva are considered to be options in the outfield, Jared Oliva being the main outfielding option, while Tucker and Phillip Evans have kind of been more of utility men over the last year or so. So Jared Oliva did get to play a little bit last year. He was drafted in the seventh round in 2017. We'll start there. And he's right now ninth in our prospect rankings in 2020. Last year, he only had 16 plate appearances, one stolen base, and a 188 average. So Oliva will definitely probably see a bigger jumpstart in things this upcoming year, I would expect. But then we look at who they say will be starting for the Pittsburgh Pirates in the outfield. And as we mentioned in the earlier parts of this podcast, Gregory Polanco right now is slotted in at right field. We'll see how that injury affects him, but if he is healthy, I would expect Gregory Polanco to be there. Brian Reynolds in left field makes sense. He was not good in center field. He just wasn't getting it done, but he is a good outfielder, in my opinion. He's a good hitter as well, but again, we saw everybody kind of take a dip in hitting in 2020, but he was almost competing for a batting title in the National League in his rookie year. And then Anthony Alford is also slotted in there. He was obtained in August from waivers from the Toronto Blue Jays. And Alford, to me, is kind of the wild card here in this whole situation. Anthony Alford, we're going to take a look here. 26 years of age. He bats right, obviously. So, like, I'm telling you kind of standard things. The thing is with Anthony Alford is he's played for two teams, and that would be the Toronto Blue Jays and the Pittsburgh Pirates. He got injured in Toronto, which allowed him to come and clear waivers from Toronto to become a Pittsburgh Pirate. He's had 88 total plate appearances, a 169 average with three home runs. Now, what I will say, Alford used to be in college as a college football player. And he was in the top 38 prospects in the Blue Jays organization. And keep in mind, he's only 26. If Alford can get off to a good defensive start, I'm not saying an offensive start, a good defensive athletic start in center field, I think he would slot in very well there, which would give the Pirates some security. Because if you can create security in the left field and out in center field spot, especially in PNC Park, where those that left field wall and that left center wall are very deep, if you can have two good outfielders out there like Brian Reynolds and Anthony Alford, if he can take a good step this upcoming year, I think that would give the Pirates a lot of security moving forward. Because Reynolds, I don't know if Reynolds is going to be here for the long haul, but he could definitely help. And if he does progress again, help the development of the team by getting some assets. I think Anthony Alford could be here a while. And the reason why is because he was doing pretty good before he fractured his elbow. But he will be a full participant in spring training. He will likely get slotted into that center field spot. And the thing is with Anthony Alford that I really enjoy is, again, his age being 26. 26 is probably a good, it's probably a good place to be in your career. I really enjoy the idea of having Anthony Alford there. Mainly also because of the fact that now that he got injured, he can kind of refresh. He had an extended offseason and a bunch of other stuff. Like, it's just a really good thing. And I know I'm kind of rambling here, and I did say I was going to talk more about it. But Jared Oliva, again, is going to be one of those guys, too, that if he can come out and have a hot start, Gregory Polanco's health might not matter. Because you can do a lot of things with guys like Anthony Alford, Jared Oliva, and then even if you want to bring up Travis Swaggerty before September call-ups, you can do a lot of things. And he's also not going to be eligible for arbitration until 2023. So if the team continues to get better and Alford continues to get better, he's going to be here a hot minute. And the cool thing about him, he was stuck in a very talented outfield in Toronto and Guerrero Jr., Randall Grichuk, and Teoscar Hernandez. But he has opportunities here. And we saw in the Cubs game this year, in one of the Cubs games, he hit a ball 428 feet. And he can play both left and center field. And when he was with the Pirates, he slashed 250, 308, 667 with a triple home run, four RBIs, one walk, and one strikeouts in the five games. He also has a very good tendency to have a knack of where the ball is going to be when he's in the batter's box, albeit his batting average not being great. And I really expect that he lives up to the potential that he has. I mean, he really can. He just has to gain some consistency. And I think Alford, Oliva, and Alford, Polanco, and Oliva are going to be the three guys in the outfield that we watch the most. Reynolds can take the next step again, I think, in a full year. I think he will do that. I don't have any doubt in my mind that he can hit at least 250, 260, and have some good double, triple hits, maybe in a couple home runs mixed in there as well. Polanco is a big home run hitting guy, but I just need to see more. I need to see him stay healthy. Oliva is going to be a very, very big player because I know I will see him in pitch running situations because he's great at stealing bases. And if Alford can keep his defensive ability up as well as improving his bat, I don't see how you take him out of the outfield. And he may be the most important outfielder of this season depending on how their success is mandated. And I know that's a big task to say for a guy that only played a couple games, but he looked good in those couple games. And everybody in Pirates Nation, including myself, freaked out over Key Brian Hayes and his short stint as well, and what he was doing in those couple games that he got to play at near the end of the year. And that's what I like. I want to see these guys perform well, but over the course of the entire 162-game season. And the outfield, right now, pitching starting to look stronger in the farm system. The outfield, eh. But I would really think that the outfield may be the strongest part of this rebuild at some point in terms of how important it is. And, I mean, we've seen the Pirates' success over the last 10 years come from having good outfields. You saw Andrew McCutchen and Starling Marte. You saw guys like Gregory Polanco before he kind of went away. I mean, you saw a ton of guys in the outfield that were just really good. Even Corey Dickerson won a Gold Glove in Pittsburgh. The outfield almost determines this team's success. And I'm excited for 2021, and I'm excited to keep talking about 2021 with you guys, and I keep hoping that you tune into the podcast as we release them, as I'm getting down to a daily schedule now that I have a lot of my personal issues out of the way. But what do you guys think? Who is the most important outfielder in 2021 for the Pittsburgh Pirates in terms of development, success, individually and even with the team, etc.? Let me know on Twitter at Locked On Pirates on Twitter. Check out all of the MLB podcasts. I'm going to try to do a crossover with the Washington Nationals host at some point to talk about the Josh Bell trade from the angle of the Washington Nationals. And again, guys, we are almost out of 2020. That day, I believe, is Friday, January 1st will be the new year. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your Monday, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Thank you so much.